morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show.
Thank you.
Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way.
Yes.
My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and I am rejoined in the studio today by Philippe Siragi.
After 2 weeks of striking.
2 weeks of saying, I am sick of this guy across from me. I cannot stand to look at you anymore.
This is not.
And we're back.
I was on strike for better benefits as a host.
Cappuccinos at our side.
And that didn't work, so
At least a bottle of water or something for our raspy voices.
Okay, get some water.
Oh, no.
Anyway,
okay.
That didn't work.
Hey, we're here.
I'm looking at Jay, who is completely heartless. Look at that. Yeah, he's just smiling. He's having a good time over here.
You guys are full of it. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, today we're talking about creation.
The whole week.
Well, the whole week we're talking about creation and the imagination.
Or creativity.
Thank you. Creativity. See, this is why I missed you, because you keep me on top of things.
Yeah.
Creativity and the imagination. I'm just going to let, you know what, you go ahead. You go ahead. Introduce it, please.
Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
No. I can do the introduction. Not that I can do better than you.
We don't have to do that part again. We already read that.
Welcome to the Grace. We're going to have a good time today, because we're very happy to be on the same studio again, which it's just for this week, because I'm traveling next week also. Are you traveling next week?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
So the both of us are gone.
We're out of here.
So that's it. We're on strike.
This week.
We may or may not have a show on Tuesday. We'll see.
Yes.
I think if our producers are listening right now, we're super worried, because we're giving people false information.
No, we're not.
No, there will be something all week next week. Anyway, so yes, I'm excited about today, because...
What are we talking about today,
Okay. So the theme for the whole week is creativity and imagination. But our theme today is... creation and creativity. Like, look at the creation.
No. Okay. It's creativity and creation.
Oh my God.
I just got to keep you on top of your game.
All right. Do you want to do the intro? Okay. Anyway, so we're having fun here. This is good. So what is it again?
Creativity in the creation.
In the creation. Okay.
In the creation with natural creation.
Yes.
Everything involving. So like think of Genesis 1 and 2.
Yes.
Think of a couple other New Testament scriptures that speak of creation. Really, how does God... We want to answer this basically. Yes. How does God's imagination and creativity show through what he has created?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could start by saying a couple of things about, you know, okay, so what do we know about us and God, right? We know that we've been created in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Obviously, it excludes the idea that we are physically the same, because God is unmaterial.
Yeah.
Right? So
God is a spirit.
Yes.
We are
spirit in a body.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the soul. We're trichotomous, just in case you didn't know.
Dichotomous, according to some people's beliefs.
But but I'm a trichotomous. You do whatever you want.
I'm not here to disagree.
Okay. All right, hold on over here. Okay.
No.
So what was I saying? I lost my...
We're made in God's image.
Yes, we're made in God's image.
Mean?
That means that we are in his resemblance, like morally, and maybe in terms of person, right?
Thanks, Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, thank you.
Thank you.
The dynamic duo. Thank you. We appreciate that, Carolyn.
We're going to take this opportunity right now to say, if you're following along, please feel free to type in. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for being
James.
Here today. James, thank you for that. We are so thankful for that.
That was a good
one. We appreciate it. Hey, if you're
here. He's listening from England.
Follow along. Oh, cool.
James is from...
Across the pond.
Across the pond.
I'm not going to do my accent, because it would be terrible.
That would not be good.
I can't do French the way that Philippe can do French, and I can't do British the way that James can do British.
Oh, my God. Yes. Anyway.
All right.
So, hold on. Where were we?
This is what happens when we're away from each other for two weeks.
Yes. I mean, we did speak a little bit, but not... Okay, anyway. So, so what are we... Okay, God's image, right?
We're created after the image and likeness of God. That's Genesis 1, 26, 27. So what does that mean for us?
Yes.
How does our creation, just looking at humans in general, how does our creation point to God's creativity?
Yes.
You had some really great thoughts about that when we talked about this.
I did. Well, one of the first things we notice, right, is that we as human beings... Unless, you know, we're interested in things that are aesthetic, we're interested in beauty, look at architecture, art, all these things. And the fact that human beings are creative and they have we have imaginations is a reflection of God being the same. And we'll see that in creation as we discuss that later on. But I think it's interesting to realize that God gave us, you know, I mean, we don't know what you know, insects and animals really think in that way. But what we do know is they don't have the same interests in things. Like we have museums, they don't. We love art, they don't. When we build buildings, they have to look nice. We look at the interior of a house, we want to paint it a certain color. We love our furniture, or we don't love our furniture. Like, we have this idea, like, things that are created are like, bring out our own creativity. We love or we don't love. We like, we don't like. You know, so that is the first thing we can say. Mm-hmm. Is that if we are in the image of God and we are in this, we are thinking this way, I think creativity and imagination are a big part of Christian life. And another way we could say that, and I'm saying this because some people say, well, art is unnecessary. I don't know about that. You know, I think aesthetic and beauty is something that we care about. You know, mm-hmm. I'd rather like, if, you know, people say that and sometimes, and when they go on vacation, they get a house with a view.
Yeah.
Why do you get a house with a view?
Right.
Because you love what surrounds you. Like, yes. What you see, what you look at, it means a lot to you. So God created us this way. So there's no question about the fact that God is also creative. He has a lot of imaginations. And as we'll discuss, you know, in the conversation about creation itself.
Yeah. Right? Let me bring out this point by asking you a question. How many... And it's okay. You can give me a very rough estimate here. I'm not looking for the exact answer. But how many humans have lived since the dawn of time?
Well, it's a very good question. It's between, there's so many estimates depending on what you're talking about. It's between 10 and 100 million, billion.
Billion. Yes. 10 and 100 billion.
Yes.
Right? In all of those created beings, yes. Those humans, how many of them look exactly the same?
Almost none.
Right.
You have identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
They're the minority.
They're from the same
chromosomes,
same egg, same...
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that's very rare. Mm-hmm. You have lookalikes. We call them doppelgangers. Yes.
Look out. Yeah.
So
you'll meet them halfway across the world or across the pond, James, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
who knows?
But it was okay. So we had this conversation in your office the other day. Yeah. We were talking, and then we were saying, okay, like if we take look at a face. What is a face, right? You have two eyes, one nose. You have a mouth. You have two ears.
If everything's going well. Yep.
Yeah. Right. You have hair color, high color, and that's it. So you have 5-6 features.
Yes.
And God, which is mathematically impossible,
right?
God is capable of taking 5 or 6. Features and make billions of different combinations. Because we forget how simple the face is. We all have a head, same shape, roughly, eyes, nose. This is how you would describe a face.
Yes.
And then with those 5-6 features, God is so creative. Mm-hmm. He was able to produce billions of different individuals.
Yes.
And that's what's really, really amazing to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we're saying is if you're following along, like take a blank canvas, take a piece of paper, and pick any 5 objects you want.
Yes.
And then put them on that paper in as many different combinations as you can until you run out of space on that paper.
Yeah.
And let me know how far you get. And then think about how far God has gotten with all of humanity.
Yes.
As just one particular aspect of his creation. That's not even like, maybe that's like his, you know, main creation, but that's just one of so many different things that God has created.
Yeah.
And so his imagination is just pouring through each and every one of our individual facades, our features, our looks.
Yeah, and the funniest thing also when you think about those 5 objects or features have to be in the same place all the time.
Yeah.
Like the eyes have to be above the nose.
Yeah.
The mouth has to be
under
the nose.
Yeah, we're not putting everything where we want.
We're not cubist artists. but that's even better because if I take 5 objects on the table, I put them, my combinations would be, I put them in different places, but God didn't do that.
No.
He put the only combination is the same. I'm going to put the 2 eyes here, 1 nose here, the mouth here, 2 ears. I'm going to put some hair here, facial hair, if you're a guy. And that's it. And then despite this limited number of features and only one placement for each feature, he was able to produce billions of different human beings looking completely differently. That is mind-blowing.
Yes.
I mean, the math of it is mind-blowing itself.
It's mathematically, I believe, probably impossible.
It's impossible.
The way that we would understand that probability.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's stick with the human idea for a second.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about the features of humanity.
Yes.
How about we talk about the personalities in humanity?
Mm-hmm.
The different idiosyncrasies that each person has.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to think about is, how do I say? All right, so every single person has like their own way of doing things, has their own thoughts, has their own desires, maybe their own gifts, the things that they're good at, things they're not so good at.
Yes.
So think about this just for a second. In order for a city to be built, what's the very first thing that needs to take place? Before there's ever even like a foundation laid or anything.
A design.
There has to be a design put out there. So like an architect comes and says, well, here's what I put down on paper. What do you think of this? Okay. And it starts there. That's that person's strength. That's what they're good at. They put the design on paper.
Right.
And then maybe an engineer comes in and looks and says, well, here's all the math that's involved. And here's all the measurements that need to be calibrated in order for this to work.
Yes.
Okay. So one person, two person, and then the construction people come in and say, okay, well, we have to make the foundation this way. And then all the workers come in and say, oh, we have to do this and this. And there's so many little changes that take place along the way.
Yes.
All right. Now this is just one city or one project or one thing being done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God has done with everyone.
Yes.
In an instant.
Yes.
In a moment. So like he has been able to give his imagination to us in increments, like through all these different people.
Yes.
So the way we say it like biblically is when we talk about gifts of the Spirit, like he is given severally as he will, but there's many different manifestations, but there's one Spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. That's the point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 12 as well.
Yeah.
The diversity of gifts. God equips us with personalities and gifts, which are also spiritual gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the beauty of unity, it's that diversity, you know? So, it's amazing when you stop for a moment and think about, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but I know a few things about the body, right? We do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I use those, I teach apologetics, you know, apologetics is, for those who don't know, it's the part of theology that deals with the defense of the faith,
mm-hmm.
with building arguments for the existence of God, for example, or maybe the defense of the Bible, how reliable the texts are, etc., the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
So I do that in the college that you're a director, and I do that at GGCA, which is a Greater Grace Christian Academy for the seniors in high school. And what's amazing you realize is, like, for example, I ask them a question, you know, so, okay, can you tell me how the eye works, right? I mean, we know it sees, but we don't, unless you're a medical doctor, you don't really know. So we know a few things, you know, and what we do know is that it takes a lot of components for an eye to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the key thing is the connection between the optical nerve to the brain. So the brain can actually process the image.
Yeah.
And in that way, we are able to see.
Yeah.
But that in itself, you know, the concept of having something outside to see and that you're capable of seeing is amazing. You know, everything, the breathing, the our heart is beating like maybe like 55, 65, you know, beats per minute when we're sitting. And we're not thinking about it. I'm breathing, I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
You know, it's like the way God made us is so intricately designed. You look at nature, it's amazing, you know, that those trees that die every year in the winter and the sap comes back up when it's the sun.
Yeah.
And the fact that I breathe in oxygen and I exhale CO2 and the trees
they're
and
inhaling.
Plants, I drink the opposite, right? That's amazing.
Yeah.
And after thousands of years, billions of years, according to evolutionists, the atmosphere is still exactly the same composition.
Mm-hmm.
It means the amount of breathing that I do equates the amount of breathing that they're doing, and there's the exact amount of oxygen after thousands of years in the universe, in the atmosphere that was initially.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no change.
Percentages are exactly the same.
Or have you ever thought that if you look at the world population, there's about 50-point-something% of guys and 49-point-something of girls in you. How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't decide if I want to, you know, if I have children, if it's going to be a boy or a girl. There's no one, there's no world agency deciding, you know.
As far as we know.
And look at this. And even the one-child policy that was in effect for 30 or 40 years in China did not affect the world population.
No.
So how does that work? Mm-hmm. God is in control. Like, there's so many things that are beyond our mind, and God's mind is amazing. It's mind-blowing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it really is.
I'm excited. You can tell. Anyway.
You're pumped up.
I'm pumped up.
I'm just going to let you keep on rocking.
Oh, no. Let's... Okay.
See? He's got
okay. Aurelia. What are you saying, Aurelia?
Aurelia, good morning.
Hey,
pastors.
You write every time, Aurelia. Thank We're you, so Aurelia. Happy to hear from yeah. Madeline also. You guys are awesome.
There is no God like our God. Yes. Our God is high and lofty. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours.
Yes.
Only when we reach heaven, we will understand everything.
Yeah. I
absolutely.
I mean, that's a side note in a way, but it means that's Isaiah 55, yeah. Aurelia, right? And then I think for me, it's like God is so amazing that mm-hmm. we won't be able to understand completely everything.
Yes.
Like, we'll be there 10,000 years, as the song says, and we'll still be mind blown by God, you know. So it's like, so when we talk about intelligence and creativity and knowledge, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like God doesn't have to think things through.
Yeah.
He knows them.
It's just there.
The capacity of the brain, if you put it this way, mm-hmm. like the power of a computer, for example, like we are creative, we are creating machines, mm-hmm. and the only thing we can do to make a computer more useful is the capacity to process things faster.
Faster, yeah.
But still, I have to process things,
yeah.
and the computer has to process things.
Yep.
God doesn't have to process things. That's a whole another level of intelligence right there. You know, God doesn't have to think things through and make a decision.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
God knows. And that's how amazing his brain is. And when we'll talk about creation later and how the universe is fine-tuned for life to be possible,
mm-hmm.
that's another proof of creation, mm-hmm. Creativity in creation, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right.
All right. So let me read you. Let's see.
Please read.
What should I read? Genesis 1.
Genesis 1.
I'm not going to read all of Genesis 1, just a few verses to make a point.
Thank you.
Genesis 1:11, and this is, what day is this? This is the third day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And then flip on over to verses 24 and 25, and this is on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So here's another like aspect of his, maybe his omniscience and his creativity as well, is that everything is able to reproduce itself after its own kind.
Yes.
But in that reproduction, like we just said about humans, in that reproduction, everything can be like slightly altered and still the same thing.
Yes.
You're never going to see a tree produce something other than a tree out of itself.
Yes.
You know, you're we're not going to go into all that, but just to say like that, that's one of the things that to me makes evolution kind of like wonky, is that you don't see any other object in creation create something completely different from itself when it reproduces.
And DNA prevents that.
And DNA prevents it. Yeah.
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 Why would evolution come up with DNA to prevent evolution? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Let's put a stop to it right here.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it and thinking about it, and
we're talking about creation, not evolution.
No, I mean, I mean, this is their attitude. Now that we're studying it and making claims about it, that can't happen anymore. Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway,
let's breathe.
Yeah. Anyway, so what you're saying is interesting. So what's mind blowing is the diversity we see in heaven. So okay, so we were talking about that the other day, wondering how. Okay, could God have created? Okay. Before I say that, I want to go back a little bit and say something else. If I ask someone, come up with an animal, can you invent an animal? Yes. Can you invent an animal? Do you know what I will have to do?
Take parts and pieces of living, existing animals? Did I steal your answer?
No, you actually confirmed my point. The point being is that if I ask a biologist to invent an animal, he will borrow from what he knows, because there's nothing that we come up with. It's the same thing with those movies, science fiction movies. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we have an alien, what are they? They have legs, you know, or some parts. If they don't, they look like octopus.
Yeah.
There's zero imagination to the level of God. God creating something out of nothing. Breathing was not a thing. Before God, he invented breathing. He invented air. Mm-hmm. He invented gravity. He put something on. He invented grass and beauty and eyes and, you know, and the whole nothing existed before. It's like, so, and then here we are in our imagination. We can invent a creature that would be like an orc, you know, for example, in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it looks like a big guy who's ugly. That's what it looks like. Or, you know,
you heard it here first, folks. Yeah. An orc is just a big, ugly man from Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. So the point being is that we don't have the level, you know, of, so.
Yeah.
Again, it's mind blowing that we would come up with something out of nothing and come up with ideas that we found beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We just look at, you know.
So, I mean, let's see. We have the biblical understanding of this. I can think of a couple verses. I turn to one, John chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that's like one verse that speaks to this. And then Ecclesiastes talks about there being absolutely nothing new under the sun. We could say the same about pieces of writing. We could say the same about music.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at just Christian music in general, and I am no expert and I have like very little experience in this, but the way I understand it is that there are four main chords that you use all the time when it comes to a Christian song. It's like G, E minor, D, and C.
Okay.
And if you use those in some sort of combination, and there's like some really funny YouTube videos out there making fun of it in a good way, like in a lighthearted way. It's like, and you put a couple rhyming words together, then you have yourself a Christian song. So like, this is true for anything that that requires any sort of creative capacity. Everything's already been put in place for us to meddle with.
Yeah.
Everything's already there.
Yeah.
Like Lord of the Rings. What's a more recent, that's not that old, but it's, what's a more recent one that we could like attribute
a movie?
To it? Not movie, but like a piece of writing that, you know, requires some fantastical tale. They all run through the same pattern.
Yes.
They all run through the same pattern. Narnia. That's all I'm trying to say.
Narnia.
They've all been made with everything that's already been made.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just belaboring your point. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, the point is also like, yes, we have a level of creativity, and I think Christians should be encouraged
for
creativity.
Like, 100%.
We have creative ways of talking to children, preaching and teaching. You know, this is great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we have, you know, Pastor Matty, you know, Cirio, who has been on this show maybe several times. You know, he ministers in places where art, he's an artist, he's a painter, he's an abstract painter, and then he's getting well known, you know, he's in there, and he knows as an artist, and it's true. Like I'm not an art expert at all, but there is a few things that just I can look at. I'm thinking, well, this is awesome. And I remember I lived in Paris for 10 years when, you know, before I moved here, but I went to the Louvre and which is a museum, you know, one of the largest museums in the world. I went to the Quai d'Orsay, which is not the Quai d'Orsay, the Musée d'Orsay, which is another beautiful impressionist. And in the Louvre, I don't know if everybody wants to see the Mona Lisa, it's about this big, you know, mm-hmm. it's super, it's a foot high, maybe like a two-third of a foot wide. It's behind a bulletproof glass. But then I enter into a room, there's painting by Eugène Delacroix, which is a French painter. And they were massive, like massive. I think it's worth like 8 meters, so it's about 25 feet wide.
Wow,
And the amount of details. So I looked at it. I was like, I entered the room and I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so it's. So the point being here is that we have all this creativity, but we start with like, we don't invent the colors, we use them.
Mm-hmm.
So God created us in the image, and the difference between the creator and the creature or the creation is exactly that. We are in His image. We can create things. We can come up with beauty and extra, but we have to use what God gave us. Mm-hmm. As a person, we don't invent any new things, which makes 2 points for me. Number one is creativity and imagination is a great gift by God, but also His creativity and imagination is far beyond. Just like our love is limited, His love is unlimited, and His imagination and creativity is unlimited too. And that's really amazing when you think about this.
Very good.
Thank you.
Psalm 19, I believe it's Psalm. Well, actually, first Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 6.
Let's go to Proverbs.
Proverbs 6.
I think it's better.
I think
Proverbs 6 is better.
I gotta find it though.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's Proverbs, right,
Proverbs 6, 5. Verse 6. Because God always throughout the Bible points to His creation to teach us.
Yes.
So here's a perfect example of that. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant. you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest.
Yeah.
How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber. Okay, we get the idea. God's saying, would you look at this tiny, pretty close to microscopic being that we have that marches around in colonies, going from place to place, gathering the food that they need, sustaining themselves, producing after themselves, and continuing without any obstruction. There is no obstruction that is too large. Think about how tiny an ant is and how large the world is around it. And is there anything that stands in the ant's way?
Yes.
What's standing in our way?
Yes.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But we have to, like, God has to point that out to us. Do you see this little thing that I created? Yes. You have this capacity in you too.
Yeah.
There is no obstacle that is too large for you to get past. You just need to work together, like be united. Like if an ant can't carry some crumb or some leaf by itself, multiple ants get together to do it.
Yes.
And then it's possible.
Yes.
And their strength, like, is, you know, 25, 30 times stronger
proportionally
to their body size and weight. Yeah.
Yeah. They can carry several times their body weight, you know, and go back and do that all day long.
Yeah.
You know,
and not get tired.
Yes.
Good thing they got six legs for that.
That's what. Yeah. It's unfair. They got six legs.
That's the slugger's excuse. Well, they got six legs, guy.
I got two.
I got, you know, I get barely functioning. Yeah, My knee hurts.
I have two left hands. My hip hurts.
No, but okay. The same thing happens. Yeah. Psalm 19 talks about the sun going up and going down, how it's like clockwork. And Psalm 1, speaking about a tree and the way that it's rooted and the way that it grows and it can prosper. God is always pointing us back to his creation.
Yes.
There are so many different ecologies that exist. Ecologies are like the study of the way that everything interconnects and interacts with one another.
Yes.
You can come up with so many different ecologies. God has created all of them.
Yeah.
And he points us back to each one of them. We could start in the Garden of Eden with the trees. We were talking about that.
Yes.
We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Why didn't God stop there, Philippe?
Yeah, he could have.
Yeah.
And if God was not creative, like, just like the, what in philosophy we call the deist idea, right?
Yeah.
A theist believes that God exists and he's interested in creation. A deist believes that God does exist. He's a great watchmaker. But he's not interested. He rewinds the universe and then he just goes on his own. He could have done that and say, okay, well, I'm going to do three trees, right? Mm-hmm. One, you know, which you can eat, one which you cannot eat, and the other one you can eat because you eat the right wine. So you can eat, let's say I'm going to make a pear. You're going to have a pear. You can eat your pears every single day, three times a day, and don't eat of this one. This is a bad tree. And you can eat, as long as you eat the pear from the tree, you can eat the other one, which is a tree of life, and they keep you up. So we could say, but then God, you know, like I was looking at these numbers, I put them down because it's amazing for me. It's like, there's about 60,000 tree species that we know about.
Mm.
Why not 100?
Yeah.
I asked me to give you 20. I don't even know if I can. So, and in my neighborhood, there's maybe five or six different species of trees.
Yeah.
And I love my neighborhood. It's beautiful because there's not one tree. For me, there's plenty. So why 60,000?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Mm-hmm. A different kind of with leaves and with the needles and big trees and the redwood, you know, and then you have short bushes. Mm-hmm. Why? And then, so 60,000 trees, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then 400,000 plants and flowers.
Wow.
400,000. Like, it's 500,000.
Yeah.
Why? Roses are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Give me three plants. Like, in my garden in front of me, my wife takes care of the garden in front of the house.
Yeah.
We may have seven plants, different kinds. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Why 400, half a million? We don't need that.
Yeah.
But that's the diversity shows God's creation. And then there's maybe up to 100 million living species.
Mm-hmm.
That's the speculation done by the scientists, because there's many we don't know. And we thought we know the world, and every single day they find a new different kind of shark or octopus or bird, or, you know, it's like, because we've been there places we have never been, you know, like in forest and stuff. So the point is, the diversity is mind-blowing, but also the diversity just shows how God cares about. When he created, you read that earlier, he said, this is good. Mm-hmm. And he created man and woman. This is very good. God is very happy with his creativity. God is very happy with the results of his word. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing when you think about it. It really is amazing. And those numbers are just amazing, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You want to say something else? Or?
I'm just taking it all in.
Okay.
No, it's really good. Proverbs 30.
Yes.
More animals or different things we can look at. So, again, just the picturesque nature of God's creation and teaching us, like, different things through those pictures. Let's see. Oh, it's ants again. Oh, it's ants again. Of course it's ants.
Of course.
All right, Proverbs 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider takes hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. I'm just thinking of verses now at this point where creation is constantly yes. testifying not only to us, but to all of creation
yeah.
in itself of God's magnificence, God's creativity, mm-hmm. and his imagination.
Yeah, I mean, you think about Romans 1. Paul yeah. goes as far to say that if creation is enough for you to know there is a God, and if you think there is not a God, it's because you're suppressing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think when I read this verse, I'm wondering why. How can this be a testimony? Because I think man, even though if you don't believe in God and you look at creation, you know that this is out of range. If you ask someone, okay, just out of nowhere, because I've seen this video by Ray Comfort. You know, we quoted yeah. it a couple of times. He goes on campuses and he wonders if they believe in intelligent design. Like, this world is amazingly intricate, you know, and you think it came out of nowhere. It's a fruit of evolution. So it's possible for something to come out of nothing. It's possible for randomness to come out of organized, you know, systems. People say yes.
Or organized systems yes. come out of randomness.
Yes.
Order out of chaos.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think I said it backwards. And so he asked the question to a couple of students, can you make a rose? Oh, no, obviously I can't. But you should be able to make a rose. Why can't you? Well, I don't have what it takes. That's the point. You know, that's the point. Look at the universe. And the point is, we don't have what it takes, and evolution doesn't have what it takes. And mm-hmm. actually, one of the arguments that I'm making in the class when I teach this, even with the GC students,
yeah.
is that if for evolution to actually be true and to work the way it's supposed to, it requires to allow evolution to have its own intelligence,
mm-hmm.
which makes evolution not a principle or a theory, which makes it a person,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what people are using evolution to go against, the idea that there's a person behind the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we reject God, but then we give evolution the attributes of God so it can work.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, yeah, because when you read, like, I've read a lot of you know, material by, you know, famous evolutionary scientists, because I want to see what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, maybe Christopher Hitchens, you know, Charles Dawkins, what's his name? I forgot. He's a well-known Canadian. Anyway, regardless. And it's funny where the language that is used is always saying evolution becomes the noun in the sentence, responsible for every action.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution equipped us with this. You know, evolution did that. Evolution yeah. selected this, natural selection. You are giving the evolution the properties that you refuse to God because you don't want him to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's when I think, when I'm going back to Romans 1, when yeah. that's when I think people who have to suppress the truth, because the evidence is there. Like, yeah. I'm trying to make a rose and I can't. And yet I'm looking at the universe and I accept the amazing intricacy of the universe and complexity of the universe as being something that doesn't require any creativity or any imagination.
Yeah.
Like, there's no personality behind the universe. Mm-hmm. That is completely impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to suppress the truth not to see creation as a proof of God's existence. So that's the point that Paul is making in Romans 1.
Yeah.
Right?
If you take creation down, okay, I mean, let's just take matter down to, like, its very basic element. What's the smallest measurement of matter we have to date?
Atoms, you could say. I mean, you can split the atom, of course.
Right, but yeah, so it's like quarks.
Yes.
Quarks, Q-U-A-R-K-S. There was this other one I've never heard of before, like splurons or something like that. Sounds scientific. Sounds sci-fi scientific. Quarks. But if you go down to the, you know, the very smallest unit of measure of matter, and you look at that and you try to break it down, string theory proposes that these, the very smallest, I'm going to make a point in a second, but I'm just teeing it up here. When you try to look at that or break it down anymore, all you get is a controlled vibrational loop. So all you have is this controlled pulse of energy that's holding it together. And so when you like think about that, and then you think about God's creation, and you think about God saying, "Let there be light," that's like a controlled vibration going out into the non-existent universe and creating the universe. So like, I just have this thing I'm thinking about, like words. Like I'm just thinking about languages, words, the ability for us to communicate, also the ability for different animals to communicate, also the ability for different beings, different creations to communicate with each other and function with one another. How does that take place? That has to take place by something intelligent that allowed those things to exist. If we all just showed up here randomly without any sort of preemptive anything, how would we be able to communicate? How would we have developed a language? How would our brains be able to function in a way that allows us not only to hear it, but to process it and say something intelligible back?
No, we wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, everything points to God. And that's the beauty of, God could have made a world that was so lame. That in a way that we could have looked at the world and say, okay, well, that's lame. There's no creator. But now, and we look at the world and we barely understand it. Every time we come up with a theory, another one comes up and says, no, you got it wrong. It's not like we don't trust science. I completely do. I love the idea of science, and I think, and there's so many benefits. So we don't, we're not saying, well, church against science. I don't believe that at all. So we don't, right? So what we're saying here is that, come on, guys, let's not suppress the truth. Look at the amazing creativity by God and just look at this and say, okay, this, here's the proof. And for you not to see it, for me not to see it, I would have to say, I have to suppress that in my soul. Well, because it's the creativity is out there, the imagination by God out there. Like, again, we go back to the idea, if I were to create an animal, I would take the animals I know and just mix them on, one up. But the features, all the concepts that are behind my animal will already be there. That's amazing.
I
have something I'm just wondering. So we were saying earlier, like, you know, suppressing the truth. It's amazing when you know, you've heard of the expression fine-tuning, right? The fine-tuning of the universe is an argument that says the universe is so well done to allow, and at least our solar system and our planet, it's so well done and perfectly equipped to receive life that all these combinations, all these parameters, the gravity, the force of the gravity, the distance to the sun, you could say the inclination of the axis of the Earth.
How fast we rotate.
The fact that we do rotate and the revolution around the sun, you know, and the seasons and the amount of water, the composition of the atmosphere, everything that we have on this planet. You have to have all this to make life possible. And if it's missing something, it doesn't happen. And that's the beauty.
All falls apart.
All falls apart. And that's this became really important in the last maybe 30, 40 years within the Christian scientific community, because until Copernicus, you know, which he was a scientist and astronomer, we thought
geocentric.
He's the one that came up with the idea that the sun is at the center of the solar system, not the Earth.
Heliocentric.
It's heliocentric versus geocentric. We believed the geocentric system.
We initially believed geocentrism.
And that was promoted by the church at the time, saying, you see, we are the center of the universe. And so when Copernicus came out, which says a lot about the fact that we should be careful what we're saying, because that's not what the Bible says, and you're discrediting. Anyway, so, and he actually proved what Galileo believed at the beginning, who was unable to prove. But Copernicus made a point that, no, the sun is at the center of the solar system. So And from that, scientists in the 19th and 20th century made a principle they called the Copernican principle, mm-hmm. or the mediocrity principle, which is that we are mediocre. We have nothing special. We're a little speck out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then Christian scientists, and other scientists are coming with the, hold on for a second. Yes, we're not at the center of the solar system, but let's see. Mm-hmm. And they came up with this idea, looking at all these things. Hold on. And they found two very interesting things. Number one is, for life to be possible on the planet Earth, the numbers are astronomical. So you're talking about 10 to the power of 400. Mm-hmm. It's huge for everything to be perfectly possible for life to be on the planet. That's one. Number two, that we're the only one that can actually observe the sun with a total eclipse. None other planets can do that. Wow. And why is that important?
Yeah.
Because with that, we can learn something about the universe. Like, when the sun is completely blocked, you see the outer rim of the suns. Mm-hmm. And those things you see, and that we discovered, UV rays, all these colors, that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. We're able to understand the composition of the sun because we cannot observe the sun without an eclipse.
Right.
So they say, hold on for a second. Not only we are perfectly equipped to survive and live well, but we're also perfectly placed to actually observe the solar system. And even more so, they made another discovery that, maybe 30 years ago, that not only planet Earth is perfectly placed to be able to observe its own solar system because of the moon. And think about this. The sun is 400 times bigger than the moon and is 400 farther times the farther. So, which makes mathematically perfect. So when there's a total eclipse... Otherwise, if it was a little bigger or a little closer, we wouldn't be able to have that.
Right.
And what really blew my mind on that, so our solar system is one of billions of solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
And then the Milky Way looks like several spirals coming out. It's at the center rotates.
Yeah.
And then it has several arms. Mm-hmm. And we are placed between two arms outside of nebulous gas, so we can actually observe the Milky Way, which we couldn't if we were closer to the arms.
Wow.
So the whole point being here, so it's number one, not only life is miraculous and amazing, so God was so creative, but number two, God knew he created us with interests, and he's going to place us in a place where we actually can observe scientifically the universe around us. Mm-hmm. And that is, for me, an amazing proof of God's creativity, imaginations, and care about his own witnessing. I'm going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so creative, I'm going to blow your mind. And then for you to refuse my existence, you will have to suppress the truth on your own.
Wow.
That's amazing, I think.
That is amazing.
You think so?
I do. That's a great way to end the show.
Well, are we ending the show?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
That was amazing.
Okay.
All right.
What did we say? We say that, creativity is a big part of God's mind.
Yeah.
Imagination, obviously, and God equipped us with the same things as we have as Christians, right? And and it points to an amazing creator, and it points to an amazing creation. And it points to us as being, God wants us to love food. He wants us that we have taste buds, otherwise...
Praise the Lord.
If it was just for the nourishment,
thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. He wants us to love what we see. He gave us aesthetic and love for beauty. Mm-hmm. And that just puts us in the place where he asks. You know, like if we ask the question, how can we see God's creativity in the human race? We answer that question. Mm-hmm. But the other question would be, can we as Christians be creative and have imagination? And that can be, yes, God created us this way. And that's encouraging, in that way. So what are we...
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Some people just want to say things that it's amazing. I'm going to say something is going to be, it's good. And I don't want to address the comment because I don't think the comment is so. Yeah. Sometimes, it's funny. As Christians, we're so wind up against the world that everything they teach. We have to wake up at some things. They eat food, we eat food. They breathe air, we eat air. You and I go to the bathroom, they go to the bathroom as well. There's many things we do in this world, that we have to realize, not because the world says something. And it's amazing. I've read something. Somebody sent me something recently. It says, about flat earth or whatever. And they say, and then the way they use the verses show me how weak their hermeneutic is. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that when you believe in the conspiracy theories, and some of them are probably true.
Yeah.
We get completely sidetracked by the fact that the only thing we have to is preach the gospel, not preach heliocentrism or geocentrism, all these things, or the earth is flat. If you do this And that's just me, Felix Ferraggi, saying I'm not representing Greta Gerson this one, but you should better check your heart, because if you don't check your heart, you will forget the main reason why we're here. It's not to discuss things that are useless this way. What we said today was how amazing it is for us to see the world. Right? This is amazing. And the only comment you come up with is saying, well, I have a problem with heliocentrism. Well, you know, okay, fine. It's okay. It's your thing. Yeah. Go ahead. But don't get sidetracked by the devil himself. Mm-hmm. Because in a way, what we need to do as Christians is preach the gospel, not preach the fact, oh, you're going to fool me with your, you know, with your theories. Fine, whatever, get sidetracked. Yes. How many Christians nowadays are so, oh, the NASA did this, you know, the government did this. Yep. Okay, what about God? What about Jesus? Okay?
Yes.
So let's breathe in. Thank you for your thumbs up, Brian. That means that you understand what we're saying. Let's let's remember that God is in control and God does whatever he wants. And he wants us to be witnesses in this world.
1 Corinthians 2:9.
Go ahead.
But as it is written,
I'm removing my microphone.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And we're just going to keep observing the created universe the way that we can, and grow in our understanding of it, and let Christ speak to us through it and show us his love through it. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to continue to join us throughout the week as we continue to talk about the creativity of creation.
Amen. God is awesome.